Time for Sports Lit 101. Here to talk with the authors of a book we chatted about a while back. We enjoyed very much The Colonel and the Hug, the partnership that transformed the New York Yankees. We welcome to the show the authors Steve Steinberg and Lyle Spatz. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, pleasure.
Thank you for the opportunity to chat.
One of the first things I thought I would ask you guys to do is, if you could, one of you, I don't know who wants to tackle this first, sort of remind our listeners who these guys are and why they were so important, not only to the Yankees, but really to the emergence of baseball in the early part of the last century.
Lyle, why don't you go ahead?
Well, they're important because they transformed the Yankees from an also-ran team and built their first dynasty, which of course has changed baseball forever. Colonel Rupert was a visionary. He built Yankee Stadium, still probably the greatest baseball stadium ever, the original one. Huggins was a manager who was able to go from being a dead ball era player, and when Yankees and Rupert purchased Babe Ruth, he saw that the game would change, and he was able to utilize Ruth. And again, both men really changed the game of baseball, the way it was played, and by making the Yankees the primary sports franchise ever.
Now, one of the things about Rupert was that Colonel Rupert was that he was a brewer. He had made money in the brewery, and he was thought of as being sort of a very much a late 19th century person. So he had to change in some ways, clearly to adapt to the Roaring Twenties and adapt to the way America had changed. What did he have to do to bring himself into that era?
It was no problem for him. He was a person who enjoyed the good things of life, and he enjoyed them in the 1890s, and he enjoyed them in the 1920s. And he enjoyed them till the day he died.
I would just add that obviously, with prohibition starting in 1920, he could no longer sell beer, and so if he was going to have an ongoing business, it would have to be the Yankees. And with Sunday baseball legalized in 1919, that really helped. And he made the investment in the stadium, which opened in 1923. People worked 6 days a week, most people, and Sunday baseball had an enormous impact on attendance, and he took advantage of that as his brewery revenue, fell so far down.
Steve, on the surface, Jacob Rupert and Miller Huggins seem like the oddest of odd couples. Where did they find common ground in their relationship?
Well, yeah, Lyle and I juxtaposed them, and they do seem, both in terms of background, personality, the circle they ran with, but both of them were incredibly committed and desiring to win, and they were both very very restless when they didn't win, and second place was you might as well come in last place, and they wanted to build a winner, and they were always looking, if we win this year, how are we going to win next year? So, Lyle, what would you add to that?
Well, yeah, the New York fans and the New York press was very much then as it is today. You had to win in New York. Second place was, as Steve said, unacceptable. And Rupert supposedly said that his idea of a great game was for the Yankees to score 7 or 8 runs in the first inning and then slowly pull away. That was a great game to him. He fought against the move to break up the Yankees, and his theory was, don't break up my team, go out and build your own teams.
One of the things that that was really interesting was the way that Rupert really rallied around the First World War, being of German extraction. He wanted to emphasize his patriotism, and even went so far at times to have the Yankees have their own drill officers.
Yeah, Major League Baseball started that. Actually, one of the co-owners of the Yankees, Colonel Houston, who Rupert later bought out. He bought out and was very much into that, and a number of teams, especially American League teams, started that. But there was no question that, and Rupert made it very clear that, you know, the war effort, and even though America was neutral, and then we slid over to entering the war with the Allies, that he was an American first, even though he and his family hailed from Germany. And a lot of the breweries, obviously, were owned by German-Americans, and Prohibition probably gathered steam and was ultimately successful because of the fact that the people promoting it used anti-German fervor to encourage their cause.
Lyle,
if he ever had any mixed feelings about World War One, he didn't about World War Two. He was a very early opponent of the Nazis, maybe going back to 33 and 34.
When Yankee Stadium is built, when Ruth becomes part of the fabric of the New York Yankees, baseball gets, as you point out, gets changed because we have this very important dominant team. But there were other teams of that era that had the kind of talent and, to some extent, the resources. What did Huggins do that made him the better manager than anybody else was having at the time?
Well, he had an incredible ability to size up personnel, and when he got rid of somebody, almost never did that person end up going to be a star somewhere else. We talked about Urban Shocker, and that was one glaring exception, and he got Shocker back. And you're right; other teams did have the money. Of course, when Yankee Stadium got successful, Rupert had even more to spend with the big gates, but. They were able to foresee things, like Lyle said. Here's Huggins. He was a creature of the dead ball era, and he saw the possibilities with Ruth and encouraged and persuaded Rupert to buy Babe Ruth.
Yeah, and Lyle, maybe you could explain a little bit about the relationship between Harry Frazee and Jacob Rupert.
I'll leave that to Steve. Steve is really investigated.
Okay, let Steve do it then. Sorry.
Well, Harry Frazee was the owner of the Red Sox, but he was a successful theater producer, and he loved New York, and spending time in New York probably more than Boston. And for a combination of reasons, he wanted more money, and the Yankees wanted to build a team. People forget the Red Sox were in the World Series four times between 1912 and 1917, and they won all four of them. And he had enormous talent, not just Babe Ruth, but a whole group of incredible pitchers. And slowly but surely, in the early 20s of 1919, it started. The Yankees started buying these players from Frazee, and he was happy to sell them and get the money for whatever financial needs he had.
One of the things I was wondering, maybe Lyle, you could explain this, is, we're looking now, we're talking about the owner and the manager. Nowadays, there's the general manager in between and everything. You don't hear the owner talking about his manager or her manager as much. Do you think that the fact that Rupert and Huggins were so close personally in terms of they could talk to one another, that made a difference for them?
Well, the Yankees had what was then called a business manager, Ed Barrow, who functioned as a general manager. And he, almost as much as Rupert and Huggins, or maybe as much, contributed to the Yankees' success in getting players. And as I mentioned before, the press was very much, they were very much against Huggins. Most of them didn't want him to be hired. They found fault with almost anything he did. When he failed to win the World Series in 21 and 22, they kept calling for his being fired. And Rupert, to his everlasting credit, told his players, "This is my manager, and that's the way it's going to be." And he backed his manager up, and that gave Huggins the ability to deal with Ruth and deal with all the other players.
Yep.
The Yankees of the 20s were really two different teams. The team of the early 20s slowly changed to a different kind of player. ones who weren't so rebellious, I guess would be the word. And that was, you know, partially Rupert and Barrow doing that.
Yeah, as Lyle said, Ed Barrow in many ways was the prototype of the modern general manager, and it really was a troika. Dan Levitt's written a great bio on Ed Barrow, and Rupert and Huggins, even though they show up constantly in Yankees books and literature, never have had a book of their own, a focus and biography of their own until us, but it really was a three-legged stool, Barrow and Rupert and Huggins, and each of them had the understanding that for a successful organization, you can't interfere with the other guys. They supported each other. Huggins would tell Barrow what he needed in terms of personnel and who he thought would be possible, and Barrow went out and got it, and Rupert supported and backed them financially and, like Lyle says, even beyond financially, against all the critics.
Well, it's a fascinating read. The Colonel and Hug, the partnership that transformed the New York Yankees. Authors Steve Steinberg and Lyle Spatz, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Our pleasure.
Thank you again.